scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus, making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
K-State Nation, what's going on, everybody? This is another edition of Purple Project Podcast. Once again, on the airwaves, episode 58. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden here in a moment, the Purple Project Podcast, where this is all about K-State athletics. Of course, I live in Manhattan, Kansas, but man, so much is going on. Past maybe a week or so, I know we're a podcast about K-State, but K-State has been affected by the recent Big 12 news. This is what we're going to be talking about tonight on the show, and maybe get a little defensive talk here. We'll see how time goes about that, but man, so much has happened in the last several days in K-State. Yes, folks, K-State Nation, K-State is affected by this news. So let's not messing around here tonight on the podcast, folks. Let's go ahead and bring on my co-host, like I mentioned, who lives out there, out west, in San Diego, California, none other than Alex Aiden. Alex, what's happening tonight?
Oh, man, Eddie, you know, so much has happened since we've talked. I feel like I say that a lot, but this time is just unlike anything else, because last time you and I talked, everything was dandy and good and rosy, and you know, we're ready for the Big 12 season and this and that and yada yada yada, and here we meet a week and a half later not knowing if our conference will even exist in a few years. So it's quite the drastic change of change from where things have gone. And for the last, I told you this before the podcast, for the last five weekdays, so business days, quote unquote. So I think Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there has been bombshells every day just dropped about conference realignment. I mean, last Thursday it was, wait, what? There's going to be conference realignment? Or maybe it was Wednesday, I don't know. Wednesday or Thursday. It's like, wait, what? There's conference like realignment? What? Like, Texas, Oklahoma, will leave? Really? Well, I don't know if I believe that. And it just so quickly happened that, yes, they're leaving, they're gone, they're going to go do their thing, and, you know, now the other eight schools are left in a really awkward spot. And, you know, we've talked about this before, Eddie, you know, about, you know, hey, you know, we would love to just come on and just talk about sports and just talk about games and this and that, but that we've also talked about that's not how it works. If it were that easy, that would be great, but it isn't that easy. And so with everything going on, it does have really a drastic impact on Kansas State, because I think John Kirchhoff put this best, and I'll be honest, I have been listening to the game on K-Man pretty much wire to wire since this happened, because he's had some really good insights on it. And I've also been listening to Tim Fitzgerald as well, and his stuff since as well, which is really interesting, because they really have two different takes on it. I shouldn't say two different takes, but kind of two different thoughts and approaches. And I also heard Aaron Lockett talk about it a little bit on the new Wildcats podcast over KC Sports Network, too. But it has a drastic impact on K-State, because you were talking about the fundamental, with whatever can happen, you were talking about this essentially having a, like, fundamentally changing the way the K-State's athletic department looks, the way that Kansas State University looks. The effects of this could impact more than just K-State sports. You know, they could impact other athletic programs within the athletic department. It could impact the university. It could impact the city of Manhattan and the economy there. It could impact interest within the, within K-State sports. It obviously could have a dramatic, dramatic effect on recruiting and the quality of performance that you get on the field, depending where you end up. And obviously, there is a very scary possibility of KU ending up at a Power 5 or maybe Power 4, Power 3, whatever it ends up, once as this thing goes. And KU ending up at a Power 5 and K-State being left behind, which would just be absolutely horrible. So, just with everything that happens, you know, it's frustrating, and I get that, look, it sucks, Eddie. I'll just come out and say it freaking sucks. Of course it sucks. This sucks. We'll jump into it, but it needs to be talked about because the ramifications on K-State are absolutely enormous. And you're talking about, we have no idea. We currently have no idea what the future of K-State athletics looks like. And we just don't. And it is a very unnerving place to be. And, you know, there's a lot to jump into. And obviously we won't be able to get into all of it tonight. But,
yeah.
You know, how did this happen? Where will K-State end up? This is going to go to court. That's something that you can bank on. You knew that from day one, and now, you know, the Big 12 has sued, has issued a cease and desist order to ESPN, Oklahoma, Texas, and the SEC, and talking about, ESPN's been in contact with one of the eight schools about trying to leave the conference and really break the Big 12 up, which it ultimately could potentially break the K-State Athletic Department up in a way. And so, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, which is why I got an ESPN alert today, where it says, Big 12 alleges ESPN is trying to destabilize league. ESPN says claims have no merit. BS ESPN. I bet you are wiping discs as you speak, trying to cover up your evidence of trying to blow the Big 12 up. You are so full of crap. ESPN has been working with Oklahoma and Texas for the last 6 months, trying to get this deal done to get them to the SEC. I mean, this is all about money. I mean, people want to know. Why is this happening? It's happening because of money. It's happening because of financials. And so, you know, it is what it is. We won't go down the Texas rabbit hole because you could take shots at Texas for days. For the fact,
I could right now.
Texas is worse than K-State the last decade in football. Worse than K-State the last decade in basketball. Their average record the last decade is like 7-5. K-State has a winning record against them in the last decade, and then they come out talking about how it just doesn't interest them playing teams like K-State. Their fans are uninterested. Well, maybe learn to win. Maybe learn to beat K-State, like, before you go running off. I mean, this is a team that's broken up three different conferences now. You know, that's just, you know, Texas administrator, he came out. I mean, they asked him, they said, what about the other eight teams? And they said, well, no, we don't care. And, you know, Texas can go F themselves, Eddie. I'm just going to be straight up with you. They can go bleep themselves. They really can. I'm not as upset at Oklahoma. They're just going for the ride. You know what? I don't blame them, to be 100% honest. I'm upset, but I won't blame them. Texas is the one that's driving this. Texas is the one that thinks that they're Alabama when they can't even win more than 7 games in a season with it. So, you know, in football, so. Frustrating, all over the place, as you can tell, Eddie. My head's all over the place, but ultimately, I just hope that this can end in a good resolution for K-State. I do think that there is a good possible resolution for K-State out of this, and we can dive on into that later in the podcast, but this is going to be a long process. This is going to be a process that's going to go on for a while. There's going to be some jockeying going on, and to be 100% honest, this is, I think, just the tip of the iceberg in conference realignment and college athletics as a whole. I definitely think that you're going to see some movement. I think you're going to see the Big Ten trying to poke some teams from the Pac-12, some teams potentially from the ACC. I think you might see the SEC try to poke some other teams as well. I know that the Big 12 ADs talk about trying to see if they could combine their conference with the Pac-12, which I don't think that that's very realistic. But I do think that it is realistic, a group of Big 12 teams going to the Pac-12. So there's a lot of different things that can happen, and this, I just think, tip of the iceberg of all that. And you know, we'll see how it affects K-State, but we clearly got a lot to get into.
Yeah. So for those of you who've been kind of living under a rock the last few days, kind of the moral story of it: Texas, Oklahoma doing a sneak attack behind Bob Bowlesby, and like I'll just mention, ESPN apparently has been working with both OU and Texas to get out themselves out of the conference to join the SEC. And appears like they've been both been successful. All arrows definitely pointing that way. Obviously, after the 2023-24 calendar year.
2024-2025, I believe.
Yeah, it's supposed to start at 2025. So, there's that everyone has to deal with. And yeah, I was going to take multiple shots at Texas, but maybe I'll work it in there a little bit. Yeah, I've been trying to get caught up with the game here. John Kurtz, who hosts the game here in town, the Manhattan radio station, 93.3, 1350 K-Man here, for those that don't know. But yeah, there's Fitzgerald has his takes, John Kurtz has his view on it. We both have our views on it, and yeah, I mean, this definitely is a ripple effect for everybody. And A&M, obviously, did not like the move.
Oh, no.
At first, it appears, again, I haven't sat down and read articles. Haven't done a deeper dive in these articles yet. But, you know, A&M appears from one of the summary lines here that they're okay with it, I guess. But yeah, A&M, of course, was in the Big 12 Conference way back when. So was Missouri, Nebraska, in Colorado. And I said it earlier today on the Daily Podcast that you might as well just not call this conference the Big 12 anymore, because it doesn't make sense to call it the Big 12, because if we only have, it started with 12 obviously, and then Nebraska, Colorado left, and then a year or two later A&M decides to leave the door along with Missouri as well. So, and look how that's going on for them. I know, yes, A&M had a good year last year in football. I'm focusing on football, not basketball right now. Missouri has struggled in the SEC, so that's worked out for them very well to this point. So now you look at it a few years down the road. Obviously, Oklahoma, Alex, has been the top dog. And again, I'm just talking about football. It's leaving all the rest of the academic,
athletic stuff. I mean, let's be real. Football is just driving all of it.
Yep. And you talk about the money situation too. That drives it. Obviously, Texas. You know, they've had their issues the last several years. Oh, you know, with they were having their own network and all this other stuff like that. Yeah, they've underperformed. You know, I said this earlier in the Daily Podcast too. They've underperformed. They've not done very well for themselves, and apparently, John Kurtz was not too happy about a recent article on Texas either. We got your back, John. On this. Texas. For what it is, I mean, you're gonna get your ass kicked in the SEC for what it's worth. Yeah, I mean, yes, you have Steve Sarkisian, and that's a good hire for them, but all that talent, again, I keep referring back to this talent. All this talent in Texas, yes, I'll just say the recruiting part of it. It has the money, the recruiting, all that other stuff, but yet you're cranking out these 7-5s every year. So, yeah, you can shove it to where the sun don't shine, but, yeah, I mean, when you look at that from that aspect of it, you're being cocky in what it is. You're going to be going against teams like the have fun playing the Alabamas of the SEC. Have fun playing the Georgias, Florida, Auburns. A lot of teams going to be licking their chops, obviously. And yes, it's a few years away. But obviously, Oklahoma has had their issues again with the SEC too now. Going back to some of these playoff games, getting their butts whipped too, even though they've ruled this conference for a decade now. It seems like really 2 decades when you really look at it. But yeah, what does this do for the rest of the conference? And I mentioned Iowa State in a Daily Podcast. I left out Oklahoma State. I was thinking about that on the way back here during work this afternoon. I'm like, oh darn it, there's Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State not happy with OU at all. That's like saying if K-State were to leave KU in the dust. I know we have, or KU is not very good except for basketball, but they would be pissed if K-State were to leave. So Oklahoma State not happy with the way that OU's handled this business over the last apparently few months now. So this behind the back stuff has resurfaced, and everybody is getting the I can't find the right words right now. Everybody's getting the effect, the big time effect, positive and negative effects about this move in the next few years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, you look at it, you look at the different teams and the impacts it can have on them. And first off, let me just quickly go back to actually Texas. Yeah, how fun Texas going 5-7 instead of 7-5 and complaining about not being the biggest voice in the room, complaining about being middle of the pack in the SEC, because that's exactly what they're going to be, unless something changes. I mean, that's what they're going to be. I would foresee them going through kind of the Nebraska treatment when Nebraska got to the Big Ten, and they kind of fell off the cliff, and all of a sudden they went from being a big fish in a small pond to a small fish in a big pond, and they couldn't win, and they had a dramatic drop-off in their football program, and they're still trying to rebound and recover, and they really feel like kind of the odd man out in the Big Ten. And honestly, that's kind of what I feel like may happen with Texas. I think Oklahoma's going to fit in better because they've got a much better football program. And I think that Oklahoma still can. I think Oklahoma could go 9-3, you know, in the SEC. They're not going to go 11-1. You know, the way that they did in the Big 12, but I do think that they may go 9-3. And the other impact, the other thing to look at, I should say, Eddie, here, is the expansion of the college football playoff, or the talk of that. Because if the college football playoff stayed at 4, it stayed at 4 teams, which is what it currently is, I don't think Oklahoma leaves with Texas, because I believe Oklahoma's best path to a college football playoff, if it was 4 teams, is to stay in the Big 12, win the conference, get a bid that way, and take your chance. You know, when you're in the, you put Oklahoma in the SEC, and there's a playoff of 4, it's going to be real difficult for them to get to the college football playoff under those circumstances. I don't think that they would make that move. It wouldn't make a lot of sense, even if there's more money, because you want to get to the college football playoff. With it expanding to 12 teams, or it going in the direction of expanding to 12 teams, there's going to be a lot more at-large bids. And in Oklahoma's mind, you know, 9-3, that'll probably get them to the playoffs more years than not. And so they're willing to, you know, make that jump with more money, knowing that there's more at-large bids. So, I mean, I think that there's a lot of different components to this, and I think that's probably why, you know, so many, particularly in the SEC, were pushing, you know, playoff expansion as much as they were. And I'll be 100% honest, I am someone that's called for playoff expansion, too. But, I mean, I think it's all part of kind of the greater plan there. But there's just so many different things now when you look at it, Eddie, that could happen. And kind of where could people end up? And the reason that I don't think you're going to see any movement in regards to that for a little while is because you look at the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and it's... They have the leverage. I mean, the Big Ten has more leverage than the Pac-12. But the Big 12, or the Big 8, or whatever you want to call them, those teams have no leverage right now. Absolutely zero leverage. All of them would leave in a heartbeat and go to any of the Power 5 conferences if they got an invite. I mean, they're desperate. Let's just call it what it is. They are. And that's what they do. And these conferences know it. So they don't need to rush into making any big decisions. You know, they can go try to make a bigger splash. And you've heard some college athletic experts talking about it. And, you know, I know that the Big Ten, there's been rumors about them potentially trying to go up to USC, UCLA, you know, going after potentially Clemson or Florida State, teams like this. And there's been chatter about KU and Iowa State to the Big Ten. And that could happen. But the Big Ten, in my mind, is not going to go just bring those two teams in until they go and try to make a big move. I mean, the SEC just made a big move. And it makes total sense for the Big Ten to try to match it with an equally big move. And they've got the leverage, they've got the power, and they've got the time. And so if they can go try to make the big move, and then if they can't do that, then they can come back and talk to Iowa State and Kansas, who I have a feeling they would end up giving those two invites if they don't make a move one way or another, a bigger move, the Big Ten. But I don't see that happening. The Pac-12 is a little more of an urgent situation because they could have teams that could be poached, and they may try to be salvaging their conference to do something, but they still have time to evaluate the landscape, look at what's going on, secure their schools, make sure that their 12 are strong, and then they could look to potentially try to expand from there. And so I think that they probably will look to the Big 12. I do think that is going to end up happening at some point. I think the question is who will end up going to the Pac-12? Just what I personally think. So that's something. But once again, they don't have to make a decision. They don't have to make a decision immediately. And so if you're one of these Big 12 schools, you're just kind of like, one of these 8 to 12 schools, you're just like, what do I do? And one thing we talked a little bit about on social media, and we'll probably talk about later, is right now the Big 8 schools, they're putting up a unified front of staying together. And the reason they're doing that, I think, is because they have no choice. I mean, they have no options. They have no leverage. What else are they supposed to do? I mean, it's every man for themselves, but none of them are getting offers to go to any of these other conferences or getting interest, in my opinion. So, I mean, what else are they supposed to do? Of course that they should be putting up a united front and talking about staying strong. And, yeah, they can go out and try to add schools from the AAC and try to, you know, add 4 teams. Maybe you add Central Florida, Cincinnati, Houston, and then Boise State or BYU or maybe USF or something like that. Some culmination of teams, you get it back to 12. You could do that, and that's a possibility. And, hey, if it happens, it happens. That's not the worst thing in the world. But it's hard for the Big 12 even to do that right now with all of the unknown that's going on. So I just think it's going to be a while, which really stinks. But when you look at kind of the possibilities, I think Kansas and Iowa State sit in the best position right now because I do think that the Big Ten is interested in them if they don't make a big move. I think the only two teams they would be interested in because of their academic standing. They're the only two AAC schools in the Big 12. KU's got a brand named basketball that is appealing. They do still have good money and revenue, and they're close to the Kansas City Metro. And Iowa State's an AAC team with really competitive teams. AAC College is a competitive team. So, I mean, I think that those would be the first two dominoes to fall. And then I think that the Pac-12 would look at taking anywhere from 2 to 4 to maybe they take 6 teams, but I would think maybe 4. And then your question is, you know, who would go there? And I would assume Texas Tech is in a good position to go there. But aside from that, I really don't know. I mean, K-State's been linked to them, Baylor's been linked, TCU's been linked, Oklahoma State's been linked, a lot of different schools been linked, and then obviously West Virginia's been linked to the ACC, because that just makes a ton of sense. I mean, that just makes perfect sense for them to go to the ACC. I feel like that's probably a foregone conclusion, actually. I think they'll end up in the ACC. It just makes too much sense for that not to happen. Honestly, they're a little out of place in the Big 12 anyway, but I think that is where they'll end up. But man, you know, it's hard for me to see the Big 12 staying together. But it could happen. I mean, it could happen. In adding teams, if these conferences end up making big splashes and they don't need the Big 12, teams, then I could see that happening. But there's a lot that could happen. And just one quick note before I toss it back to you, Eddie. Something for people to keep in mind. It is likely, I think, I could be wrong, but it is likely that I think K-State and KU end up in different conferences once the dust settles. I don't think they'll end up in the same conference. What will make this interesting is the Board of Regents has to vote on if they are separated and if one leaves a conference. And what happens if KU does end up going to a Power 5 and K-State gets left behind and gets stuck going to the Mountain West, the AAC, which would be, no offense to those conferences, but that would be an absolutely terrible, terrible situation for K-State. But if that happened, could the Board of Regents stop it? Could the Board of Regents force them to be a package deal? I mean, would the Board of Regents force either both of you are going to Power 5 or none of you are going to Power 5? I don't think they would do that. You'd think that they'd still want the exposure of being in a Power 5 conference and the exposure, the money and all that comes with that. But that's something to watch. That's something to watch for K-State because the Board of Regents, I don't know, Oklahoma has to be different. But in Kansas, the Board of Regents has to vote on a move like that that Oklahoma made. So that's something to keep an eye on because there's a lot of posturing going on. And also, Richard Myers is an outgoing president for K-State. His term's up at the end of the year. This is not a good time to have a president leaving your university in the middle of all of this. So you just hope that, you know, there's administrators that are in place for K-State that could put them in the best position to land in the right spot because you've got an outgoing president, you've got an AD that's been linked apparently to the Missouri AD job, which that would just be horrific if K-State lost their AD in the middle of this. And there's just a lot going on, a lot of distractions. And you just hope that K-State is behind closed doors, positioning themselves the best that they can to try to end up in the right landing spot, Eddie.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Episode 58 continues. I'll say anywhere. Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition. This week, yes, we're still talking about the biggest news story that was dropped last week in the Big 12 here. Yeah, so much of the domino effect has been going on. Obviously, just to recap, I'll touch on Alex's points here in a moment here. And obviously, I'm going to also answer Paul's question here momentarily here on the podcast here. As I'm going to introduce that's going to be a new segue to a new segment on the show. But, of course, just to recap for everyone who's been kind of lost in the situation, but you guys shouldn't be, but for those of you new to the podcast, let's just recap it for them. Big 12 news, obviously, which involves the SEC, Oklahoma, Texas informed the Big 12 of their intent to withdraw from the conference. This was announced back on Monday in a move that paves the way for the powerhouse programs to become the newest members of the SEC, as we've talked about so far tonight on Triple P. And of course, in a joint statement, all these statements, but I'm going to read anyway, the University of Oklahoma and University of Texas at Austin notified the Big 12 Athletic Conference today, aka Monday, that they will not be renewing their grants of media rights following the expiration in 2025. And then to go on, quote, providing notice to the Big 12 at this point is important in advance of the expiration of the conference's current media rights agreement. The universities intend to honor their existing grants of rights agreements. However, both universities will continue to monitor the rapidly evolving collegiate athletics landscape as they consider how to best position their athletic programs to the future. This relates to K-State. Alex, this has nailed it on the head. You may take those two schools out for just a moment here. K-State, Alex, you just mentioned it right there. You're spot on in that aspect that, you know, now that this news that Texas and Oklahoma have been hiding is now coming up to the surface. K-State, yeah, and I mentioned Richard Myers earlier in the Daily Podcast. If you missed it, go back download, check that out. I mentioned him in that daily as well too. I said the same thing as well, but into a different aspect as well. Yeah, he's retiring at the end of the calendar year. This is kind of a bad time to this news. Bad timing for the president here at K-State, and we're just gonna have to see. Obviously, where the top of the heap for our university, Alex, where this is going to go. But yeah, overall though, K-State, they need to best position themselves when it comes around this time. Obviously, that's a few years down the road, but the planning's got to start.
I will say this. I don't believe that Texas know you plan to actually stay through 2024, 2025. I think that that is just them posturing themselves for, a legal battle. A legal battle and a buyout. And being able to take a buyout, take a penalty, and leave the Big 12 early. And
pay. That's what I'm thinking too.
Yeah, anywhere from what, $70 to $100 million per school, I think was the estimates of what that potentially cost. You know, because there's just no way I could see them staying for 4 more years. Honestly.
Yeah, they'll push the envelope to leave early.
Yeah,
I
think there's a chance this could be their last year. If not, I really don't see more than 2 years from them. There's just no way. There's just no way that they're going to hang that long. I really think that's a legal fostering thing. I think that they're going to try to get out as quick as they can.
Yeah, and yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah, I think they're going to want to get out earlier than that. At least 2 years. I'm with you. I'm 100% on that. So yeah, definitely Texas, Oklahoma. They got the money. They got the money to spend it. And like Alex mentioned here tonight on the podcast, or earlier tonight, they're going to court with it, and they're going to push the envelope. Definitely for sure. They get out as soon as they can. And already the SEC, there's been a lot of predictions or projections of how they're gonna do line up their conferences as far as schedule, as far as division goes. I looked at one model. There's gonna be like 4 different divisions, and so that's 16 teams. Now when you add Texas, Oklahoma over to the Southeastern Conference, now that's 4 former Big 12 teams over there. Now in the Big 12, whatever you want to call it now, Big 8. Excuse me, is now down to 8 teams. And there was a discussion, either it was last year or the year before, about trying to grab 2 teams. When it was 10 teams, I believe there was an early conversation of trying to add 2 teams. I want to say I was in school at K-State.
I think we were in school, Eddie.
Yeah, I want to say, all this talk about adding 2 more teams, like a Cincinnati's thing has been thrown around for a chance for a Big 12. BYU is another name that people were considering want to join the Big 12 conference. That's another big name in there. And I got to say, I might be on a wrong here, but I'm going to say it anyways. I think they missed an opportunity. I think the conference, and I don't know who was the president then or the commissioner then, back then, I can't remember by hand right now, but obviously I think they missed an opportunity. Obviously, when Colorado and Nebraska left, they had an opportunity maybe to add 2 more teams back in, possibly, and they didn't do it. And now you fast forward to the current state of 2021. You got the big 2 teams, obviously with the money. How Oklahoma has been successful. I mean, we already talked about Texas, but still, they got the financial backing. We'll just pull out of this conference, basically saying this conference ain't good enough for us anymore, and let's move over to a different challenge. And here we are. It's a big pile of mess. And now, focusing on West Virginia. I agree. West Virginia, Alex, can move over to to the ACC. That makes more sense for them. They're like the out of right field when it comes to the Big 12. We kind of forget about them a little bit. That makes the perfect sense if the ACC would approach West Virginia and say, hey, we want to get you guys over to our conference. I think they would join them because they don't want to be coming over here in the Midwest anyways. Even though, yes, they have a rising football program, very good basketball program. So definitely it would make sense for them to go to the ACC for sure. Now for the rest of the conference, obviously K-State's been thrown around as the best TV media possibility now left, with Oklahoma, Texas showing the door for the voting for the SEC. Now, obviously, big money hit. Big money hit as far as the TV revenues go. Obviously, obviously K-State, we know, here in Manhattan, or where you watch K-State coverage, if you're living out west or in the East Coast, wherever you watch K-State sports, you know, the money, that's alarming. I think the stat was thrown around, I think John Kurtz was talking about it on the other yesterday, about $9 million, only yep. $9 million.
Yep.
Woo.
Yep.
That,
and the way that stat works, Eddie, and I don't mean to interject, the way that stat works is essentially, just for people who don't know, right now Big 12 teams get $37 million a year for their TV deal. But ESPN can, and Fox and the other TV partners, they can negotiate that down if there is if a team leaves, like Oklahoma, Texas, all the way down to as low as $9 million a year. And you're taking the two biggest money makers. The Big 12 takes all the money that schools make, and they essentially just divvy it up. You know, divvy it up. Everyone gets an equal piece. You take the two biggest money makers out of your conference, and you've got a conference that maybe a combined eight schools that maybe worth less than $10 million right now. That's a problem. People hate when we talk about money. I shouldn't say people hate when we talk about money, but I get it, it can get boring. But that's a problem. That is a huge, huge problem. And the whole reason that keeping the Big 12 doesn't seem realistic to me is, even if you add four teams and you get it back to 12, what are you going to bring in? $15 million a year? $20 million a year? That's still more than half less of what you were making originally. And that's just a huge, huge financial hit, which is why schools will run to another conference where they can make double the amount if they can do that. You know, that just makes more sense.
Yep. That's for sure. So that's alarming on that front as well. So with obviously K-State being on FS1 the last several years and all that, so yeah, that's a big hit on that front as well. So definitely, I mean, this is something that we're going to have to keep monitoring here, obviously. Obviously, it doesn't affect this year, though, but definitely, like we talked about tonight, Texas, Oklahoma could be leaving earlier than 2025 and could be pushing that issue some more. So all these teams in here, in the Big 12, the rest of the Big 12 anyways, there was another, and I'm not going to get into it too much tonight, obviously, because when I got home, another statement was announced tonight as well, so we won't get diving into that. But apparently, obviously, Alex kind of said it already tonight, the rest of the conference will stay put. So, yeah, so the biggest name, obviously, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, K-State, top three. If you take out Oklahoma, Texas now, you're looking at K-State, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, and a surging West Virginia if they were to decide to stay, which for now they are. So that's going to be something there. And of course, one more note here before I answer a listener question here in the podcast tonight. The Sooners and this goes back to Texas and Oklahoma. The Sooners and Longhorns are two college football's biggest brands. We kind of already talked about that. And historic powers with a combined 82 conference championships and 11 claimed national championships. Obviously, Texas has struggled in the last decade. They ain't done nothing. Oklahoma has. that's a shot on them. The two universities are also huge financial benefactors. Texas has nearly this number, eye-opener, $224 million in operating revenue during the, this is going back a few years ago, 2018-2019 year, calendar year, the most of any school in the NCAA, while Oklahoma brought in $163 million good for eighth. That was going back a couple years ago. Damn. Both schools have been members of the Big 12 since the league's inaugural season. You got to go back to 1996. With the additions of the Sooners and Longhorns, would become less than a decade after the SEC added two former Big 12 members. Of course, I mentioned Missouri, who has struggled in the SEC since going there, and A&M, who had a good football year last year, had its issues as well. But they've had a couple good years there, while Missouri has struggled to match up with. I mean, they had some big win here and there, but they've had a rough time in the SEC. Let's just be real with that as well. And with the SEC, 16 members would be the largest conference in the FBS. So, like I mentioned, that goes back to how they're going to division all those teams. Well, there's two divisions right now in the SEC. With 14 teams, obviously with the additions of Oklahoma, Texas will be 16. So will they keep it two divisions, or are they going to split it up into four? That's going to be the interesting. That's going to be interesting. So I don't know, Alex, do you have any more final thoughts on it before I know you answered Paul's question, but I want to get you have any last thoughts on all this? This is going to be a continual thing to watch, though.
just a few more thoughts from me. And as you mentioned, we really can't get into all this tonight because there's just so much going on and so much evolving and changing. I guess I'll just stress the fact again that I think Texas and OU will try to get out of the deal as quickly as possible. And I do think there's a possibility that this could be the last year of them in the conference. I know that there's four more years on there. But I do think that it's a possibility. Not saying that will happen, but I do think that there is that possibility, just depending on how quickly really all of this realignment goes. I guess I would just throw out a quick note that I'm quite disappointed in just learning about just how much ESPN has really driven all of this and really tried to break up the Big 12 and break up athletic departments like the eight teams in the Big 12 just to make some money. Quite disappointing. And Bill Snyder kind of warned us of this, that he was really terrified of a handful of years ago, that he was really terrified of the direction that college athletics were going and kind of the landscape. And I think that we are about to arrive at that point. With that said, I just wanted to, I guess, chime in quickly on what my preference would be, because I haven't really touched on that. I feel like K-State, you mentioned it, that their viewership was third in the Big 12 this last year behind OU and Texas, I believe. And don't quote me on that, I think it was third. So K-State was up there. Even when they were struggling, K-State was up there with TV, people watching them. And that's good, and you hope that can work to your advantage. But unfortunately, K-State's got a lot of disadvantages, too. You know, they're the second biggest university in their state. They're really not the brand university as much as it pains me to say that. You know, KU is the AAU accredited school. KU does have the Blue Blood basketball program. They are the school that's close to the metro, the big metro in Kansas City. So there's a lot more TV sets that are close to them than K-State. And so those are a lot of things that work against K-State. And then some other things is K-State's good at football, but they don't necessarily have that brand reputation that a blue blood would have. I think that's something that could hurt them. And then I just think that you look around the landscape, and I think that they are in one of the worst, I hate to say, but I really think they're in one of the worst positions of the eight, because I feel like West Virginia is in an okay position with kind of the ACC situation there. I feel like Iowa State and KU are still in pretty good positions. I do feel like Oklahoma State has built up a pretty good brand. They've got a lot of success, and there really be an opportunity for someone to take over the Oklahoma market there. So I think that they'll probably be okay. I think TCU and Baylor's in tricky situations because they are private religious schools, and I know that the Pac-12 has not necessarily been a big on adding adding religious schools. They didn't add BYU back in, I think it was 2010, when first realignment was going on, in large part because of that. So those schools might be in a little worse spot than K-State, but ultimately, for me, I think the biggest thing for K-State is just to find a way to not get left behind, because I just feel like they could be one of the leading candidates to get that, despite the fact that they are competitive in basketball every year. They are competitive in football every year. This last season, it was the first time K-State had a losing season in both basketball and football since 1990. They had a winning season in at least football or basketball my entire life until this season. So they've been competitive. They've been competitive in the two biggest sports, particularly, you know football. And, you know, they've got that going for them. But also, really bad year to have two bad sports years now. Just looking back and knowing what's happening now, last year was a bad year to go 4-6 in football and then whatever the heck K-State went in basketball. But I would like to see K-State in the Pac-12. I think that would be their best scenario. You're going to make the most money. You're going to be able to keep up with recruiting, because you still can sell recruits on, hey, you get to go play USC, you get to go play UCLA, you get to go play Oregon. Like that, you still can make that sell to them like you would with Texas and Oklahoma. So I still think that you can have the same amount of recruits. It could still help your recruiting would not be damaged. And you're keeping up. You're keeping up with the times. You're still with the power conference. You're still going to get the recognition and the prestige and the money and the financials and all those different things. So if K-State has any opportunity to go to the Pac-12, they've got to do it, in my opinion. Yeah, they've got to do it, because it's their only shot, in my opinion, to be able to stay part of a Power Five. So that is, I think, should be their plan A, and that is where I want to see them the most. If that does not happen, I think K-State's plan B should be an expanded Big 12, where the eight stay together, they add four teams, they add a Cincinnati, they add a Houston, they add a UCF, they add a Boise State, or they add, you know, take your pick on who it is. Are those schools sexy? No. But are they good in athletics? Yes. Houston just went to a Final Four. Houston's good in football every year. Cincinnati just had a fantastic football season. Cincinnati's always competitive in basketball. Boise State's good in football every single year. You've got good athletic programs, so you can have a good competitive conference. Yes, it would not be looked at the same way as the other four. But with that said, and yes, you would be making about half the money as you're currently making now, which would stink. And your recruiting would probably be affected a little bit. But it wouldn't be the end of the world. It would not be the end of the world if that happened. So I think that would be my plan B for K-State, is if things fell through. And then I think that there's only one more option for them aside from that. And that really is the Mountain West, the AAC. And I think that would just be a really terrible situation for K-State. And look, I'll preface it with this, Eddie. I would cheer for K-State. I would cheer for them. I believe purple. I cheer for them die hard every game, no matter what conference they're in. Yeah. I will do that.
Yeah.
I will indeed do that. But I can also say that if they went to the Mountain West or the AAC, that would be a tremendous, tremendous blow to the K-State Athletic Department. You would go from making $40 million a year to $5 million a year. You would go from, you'd be winning games, but your recruiting would see a significant...
It's like a huge hit, yeah.
Your recruiting would just be destroyed. And then, so the play on the field would decrease, because you wouldn't have the same talent on the field either. And also, on top of that, you have way less money coming in. So you're talking about cutting athletic programs, talking about cutting employees, cutting coaching staffs. K-State's now got these Power 5 facilities, and you'd be going over to the Mountain West with these called glowing Power 5 facilities that you may also not be able to pay for with all these renovations. K-State added these facilities with the thought that they were going to get all this money per year. And let's just be honest, Eddie. the fan interest would dip significantly. And I'm not saying the K-State fans aren't loyal. K-State fans are very loyal. But I'm sorry, you are not going to get people. It's going to be harder to get people up and go to an 11 a.m. football game against Air Force than it is against Texas. Okay? That's just the truth. That's just the truth. It would significantly impact fan interest. K-State's sports brand would drop off of the map. And in return, that could really hurt the university. It could hurt enrollment. It could hurt donations. It could hurt the boosters and or what you know what you have going on with the boosters. And then all of that could turn around and impact that Manhattan economy. Because we saw it this last season. I mean, Manhattan economy, it hurt them. It hurt them if there weren't crowds at full capacity. I mean, that there are a lot of businesses that rely on the out-of-towners to come in for athletic events, particularly football, in the city of Manhattan. And so if you lose that fan interest, you're talking about something that could legitimately affect the economy and affect lives of people that have nothing to that aren't even employed with K-State, and affect growth within the city of Manhattan and things of that nature. I mean, these are the effects that could happen if you end up in the Mountain West of the AAC. So I would continue to cheer for K-State. I absolutely would do that. And I would, my fanfare for them would not waver. I would still have this podcast with you every weekend and talk about the game against Air Force. But with that said, there's no denying how bad that would be for K-State and their athletic program, especially when KU would probably in that scenario be running around playing in the Big Ten, which would just, oh, that would just be, I can't even tell you how, that makes me sick just thinking about it. So, that is the third option, and the option I would least like to see. But I know some people aren't huge fans of the Pac-12 idea, but what would likely happen is it would be a quad system like the SEC. K-State would probably end up in a quad with the other Big 12 schools, and they wouldn't have to travel as much to the West Coast as people think. And you'd still get to play, you know, you'd be keeping up with the times. And that's really what's most important. So those are the options and kind of what I'd like to see happen. I know that was kind of a mouthful, Eddie, but I just wanted to kind of get that in for people. But we'll see. It's really just kind of a revolving door.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Episode 58 of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition continues. We're all about K-State athletics, but we're discussing the biggest news drop of the NCAA so far to this point. Oklahoma, Texas bolting for the SEC after not agreeing to renew their media rights contract. And it could be sooner than that, but this is a stay tuned TV for the latest on that. Alex Aiden, San Diego, California. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas for the Purple Project Podcast. And again, before I introduce Paul's question here real quick, yeah, I was just about to say, you read my mind about the facilities here at K-State. You have top-notch facilities, but you're going and I heard Mountain West rumblings around my work. And this is not, obviously we're going to be playing Nevada, obviously, in the third game here of the season. So, we have San Jose State, Boise, let's just run it down here real quick. Nevada, Boise State, San Jose State, San Diego State, you're living out there, Hawaii, woo, Fresno State, Air Force, Wyoming, New Mexico, Colorado State, Utah State, UNLV. That's not sexy at all. None of these teams. And you got to think about, the time slot as well. So yeah, some of these games get televised a little later. And that also could, especially you have to go on the road, travel to a Wyoming, a Hawaii, a San Diego State. Some of these, UNLV, you're talking about, Utah State. Some of these games, I mean, this is just scenario, but if some of these games get played at like 9 o'clock Central Time, and you guys at 10 o'clock, well, no, 9 o'clock Central Time here, and you got an early start out there, that could really screw things up.
So, yeah, there's just so many avenues that we can go, that I can definitely go with this, but nothing against Nevada, obviously. We're going to have our hands full with them as well. But I'm going to throw this in here real quick. Yeah, I promise I'll get to the question. Last thing here. Obviously, the resurface. Here is the dreaded word. Obviously, the resurfacing of COVID has come up big time. And that... we talked about, obviously, the campaign here in Manhattan, Kansas, is to refill the bill. That, with the resurgence of COVID, kind of is, I mean, yes, we're in late July, we're about to hit August here. That could be concerning. Not gonna lie, that could be concerning with the resurgence of COVID. Obviously, now with this whole with the second resurgence of COVID, got baseball players getting hit with it. The Nats and Phillies had to be canceled because of COVID. Lamar Jackson was hit with COVID. That got alerted on at the Athletic. A couple others as well. Whew. So that could be, we could be dealing with this at least early on this season. I'm not going to put an expiration date because we never really put an expiration date on this deal. So this is again, Alex, this is Stay Tuned TV/radio/podcasting, whatever you want to call it. You throw COVID into the mix now as we focus, as we start to close in on the campaign. Yeah, Alex, another thing I want to touch on is the having a bad season in football and basketball. That hurts. Yep. That hurts. Listen, just sitting here, listen to that stat there. That's why Chris Kleiman, the respected coaches, Jeff Mitty, Bruce Weber, they gotta be better. They somehow have to be better. They have to be. You can't put that product on the field and expect to stay in the game head coaching. That can't cut. That's not gonna cut it. If you want to, you have top five facilities, but you don't have a top flight program in basketball, in football. That's your top two money makers. Again, we're coming back to the same topics that we talked about during the pandemic year last year. This is the same thing that we talked about when we started the podcast, and we're talking about it again. So, I mean, hey, this is big.
The bills gotta be paid. That's the name of the game, unfortunately, at this point. It's the dollar figures. And you're coming off of a COVID season, so you already are in some financial shortfalls. And now you're looking at the possibility of other financial shortfalls. And you're coming off of a season where, like I said, it was probably the worst season, worst year to have losing records. And I'll just put this one final thing out there, Eddie. This is the big football season for K-State, because you better believe other conferences are going to be watching the Big 12 and keeping an extra eye on them, and you know, with how these teams are doing football-wise this year. You know, how many people are watching them? You know, how are their fans traveling? You know, maybe that K-State game against Stanford, against a Pac-12 team. Maybe K-State can flood Jerry World and make an impression on Pac-12 administrators, if they could see it. I mean, this is a big, big season where there's going to be a lot of eyeballs watching you because of conference realignment. And if you have a good season, that could be good for you. And on the flip side, if you have a bad season and you don't have a lot of people watching, that could really, really hurt you too. So just another little thing we're able to keep an eye on. I haven't heard a lot about that, but I would assume
that's a good point.
Conferences might be keeping a little more eye on, a little more focusing a little more on these teams and kind of what they're doing this year in the football season.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, nobody has talked about that. Yeah, Purple Project Podcast. Yeah, we get different angles of the story. Yeah, Iowa State, again, won the conference, regular season conference last year, 8-1, with Oklahoma, obviously, second. And then you have Oklahoma State, the Stayees. If you take Oklahoma and Texas out of that equation, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, 1-2 there. And then you have TCU third in the mix there, while K-State, yeah, finished second half in the conference there, in seventh there, 4-5. They lost the last six games. or last five games, where we want to put it. Yeah, five games. So, yeah, big. Yeah, this is big. Obviously, Skylar Thompson, the ringleader, Jerron McPherson on the defense side of the ball, you know, campaigning for people to come out, paint Jerry Ward purple. I mean, this is going to be right off the bat. You're going to get this right off the bat. Stanford, no excuse. We're going to call you out right now. This is January. We're recording this right now. July 28th? Yeah, July 28th, 2021. We're calling you guys out right now. Guys, show up down there, K-State Nation. Show up in Arlington. Paint that thing purple there, because this is, you go down there. We know that we already know that K-State has a strong fan base. We already said that tonight on tonight's show. And they travel well, right? So this is no excuse. Originally, we said this a million times already this summer. This should have been a home game, but instead, with the pandemic, we decided to go down there, split it. So let's just outdo Stanford, go down there, fill that thing up, and play well. Go out there, be motivated, go out there and show the rest of the conferences that, hey, we're worthy of going, accepting an invite to one of your conferences. That's big. Yep. So I'm glad you brought that up. So
I'm glad you brought COVID up, because that actually is a good point, too, because it is resurfacing. And remember, the Big 12 came out and said that we're not making up games. If teams don't have players, yep, they're going to forfeit.
Yep. So yep. That's big.
Make sure you're taking care of yourself. Like, these players need to go on quarantine because they're not vaccinated. Like, be sure they need to be doing what they can to make sure, because you're right. I mean, COVID's not going anywhere. You know, we can say what we want, but it's just not going anywhere, and for a while. And this is something we're going to have to live with. And what does it mean for fans? Who knows? But, oh man, those players better, and players and coaches better be taking the proper precautions. I know most of K-State's team is vaccinated, but still, you know, the last thing you want is an outbreak and have to forfeit a game.
Yeah, that's the last thing you want to do there. That's a very, very last thing you want to do. That's a curveball thrown in this year than it was last year. That's for sure. You don't have enough players. That could be trouble. That could be very trouble for your program there. So you better be taking care of yourself. Getting right, not only on the practice field, on the game field, but off the field as well. Very, very important stuff right here in the Pro Project Podcast. That is for sure. Swing on here. We know we're winding down. Big episode tonight on the podcast here. But it's a good segue. And Alex already answered this, but I really reiterate the question here. Listener questions, folks, of the podcast. So how this is going to work, obviously, you can either tag me or Alex on Twitter if you're following us there, obviously. Tag us with a question, and obviously, we're going to start promoting this a little bit more as we get in the start of football season as well. If you're a listener to the podcast, it'll be hashtag Purple Project Podcast, or actually hashtag Purple Project there. And if you have a question for either myself or Alex, you can do it on, you can ask us on Twitter, and we will answer your question on the next edition of the weekly podcast. So we'll definitely start in between the both of us, start promoting that, definitely, because I know I have a couple of listeners. And Paul, I had this question here. Paul Cannon, shout out Paul, at KSU PC1. And he put Alex in this, and I'm going to ask this here. He sounds like the eight schools will try and stay together, but how much trust is left among the big among the eight? Alex already said his answer, so I am going to answer that. Man, after what Texas and Oklahoma pulled there, this was planned months ahead in advance for those two teams. How much trust? I could honestly, I don't trust anybody right now after what Texas and Oklahoma pulled off. I mean,
survival of the fittest.
Yeah, it's survival. Yeah, exactly. Survival of the fittest. And I mean, this year, I mean, everybody's going to be in there. But as the contract goes for Texas and Oklahoma, things are going to get interesting. Texas and Oklahoma are going to get really antsy, and they're going to want out. And it's just going to have a domino effect. I mean, maybe the eight might stay together. I'll give it 2 years. But as soon as, like, the ACC, again, we talked about this tonight on the show, contacts the West Virginia, Pac-12, maybe reaches out to K-State, or I'll throw a wild card in there, or even ACC. I know it's a long shot, but I'm going to say it anyway, or ACC contacts K-State or whatever. You know, you better have a plan in place. This all goes back, ties back together. Again, you have to think about the future now. And not only the present, you have to perform well now, but also you have to be thinking about the future of your programming. That means K-State. What are you going to do? Obviously, President Myers, what are you going to do now for the rest of the year? Are you going to try to, obviously, he's going to be retiring at the end of the year. And what does the new, this is a few months down the road, but the future, we don't even know who's going to be the new president of K-State. We don't even know that. And so,
more complicated.
Yeah. So you're going to be going in a situation that, okay, the two big teams, Texas, OU, peace out of the Big 12 conference. What are we going to do? Well, you better have a start forming some kind of a plan in place. Yes, some of already K-State alumni already they want K-State and KU to stay together. Obviously, Oklahoma State's pissed at what OU pulled off. So that's obviously not happening. So what does K-State do? They stay put? Obviously, they will for now, but a few years down the road. Are they going to change their mind, go somewhere else if they get offered, or will they stay put and try to make something happen, make something happen in the Big 12 Conference, or what will be in the Big 8 unless some wild scenario happens between now and 2023, 2024, something like that. So my answer to that question is I don't trust anybody, and it may be just me. I don't know. Everybody has their opinion, but yeah, after what Texas, Oklahoma did, and Texas strutting up their shoulders a little bit, being cocky like their cocky selves, I don't trust no team. I would start beginning to form some kind of plan. Keep it to yourself, and when that time comes, or if somebody approaches you, you either. Look at your plan and say, if it matches up well, you go for it. If not, you stay put.
And Eddie, I think things will move. It could be years until things come to effect. I think we're going to have a lot more answers in the coming months. I really think by the end of the calendar year, we'll have a lot better idea of where K-State may end up. I could be wrong. I absolutely could be wrong, and it could drag on. And just, you know, we could go into 2022 not knowing anything, but with all the eyeballs on this right now, I really think that, and really the news leaking, I think that hit the go button on everything, and it's go time. I think it is go time for these super conferences, and yeah, I think that the Big Ten and the Pac-12, they're going to, and the ACC, they're going to take their swings. They're going to do what they need to do. But, I mean, I think they're going to move. I mean, I really do think that they're going to move and try to do something. So I think that we will get more clarity in the coming months, just my personal opinion on that. And we'll see what happens. We'll just kind of see what happens there. Hopefully K-State can get a new, you know, the Board of Regents can get K-State a new president as well, who at least knows who's taking – will be, you know, coming in for Richard Myers in 2022, and that can help us, you know, provide us some clarity too. But just to finish that thought, what you said, everyone can put a united front up, but all it takes is one team, one school, just faltering, and everything falls down. It's like a thing. Someone used the analogy of Jenga. I can't remember who it is, but it's like a thing of Jenga. Texas and Oklahoma, they pulled out two dirty Jenga pieces. Now you've got a real wobbly Jenga. The Big 12 like a thing of Jenga. It's wobbling. And yeah, you're technically staying together, but it just takes one school to get wandering eyes and to get an offer. And once they do something, they pull it out. Forget it. It's done. It's done. Everyone's on their own. Survival of the fittest. Go figure it out. And that's going to happen. I really do think that's going to happen. Maybe someone's going to get an offer. And you can't say no. If you're any of the eight teams, you can't say no if you get an offer. And that's just, the reality of the situation, and that's just why I can't see it. And kind of what you highlighted as well, you can't trust anybody right now, because you should put yourself in their shoes, and you should understand. So everybody better have contingency plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G ready to go.
Yeah. So, Paul. Shout out Paul at KSUPC1, the first ever Purple Project listener question there. You will get tagged, Paul, when the episode comes out. This will come out on Friday, so you will get tagged as well. But yeah, we will try to promote this a little bit more as football approaches as well. But thank you for your question there. Just to wrap this up, I know that we were supposed to talk about the defense, K-State's defense, at least the defense line tonight, but this right here had to be talked about here, obviously. It's Rude Big 12, obviously. It's talked about besides the Olympics, which is going on right now, currently still, with swimming. It is dominating the headlines right now, so you had to get our takes, obviously. The Purple Project Podcast, K-State is affected by these moves there. So, I mean, presently and future-wise as well. And I have not mentioned them a conference. I know you mentioned them quite a bit, the Big Ten. K-State, kind of to put a final finishing touch here because I know we're running out of time, judging off my timer here. But, yeah, Big Ten, I could probably possibly see that being better. Even better than the Pac-12, if I want to be quite honest with you, in my opinion. So with Nebraska, I know Nebraska, we make fun of them a lot, but they're struggling right now, still struggling right now. But that would be, if K-State were to perform, have a better year in the upcoming years, if they were to get a Big Ten offer, it would be the most sense, because everybody's pretty much, you have Iowa, Wisconsin, not only like the teams, but regionally makes sense. Instead of going to the Mountain West or the Pac-12 where you play games late at night and people ain't stand watching people sleep, at least here. It makes perfect sense, really. But I know it's too early to call it right now, but that's my best option A, if I had an option. For K-State is to enter themselves in the Big Ten. So, yeah.
Now, I would agree with you, Eddie. That would be my option as well. The only reason I didn't mention it is because I just can't see it, because K-State's not an American-accredited college, and the Big Ten seems to be pretty hell-bent right now on, we're only going to take schools that are American-accredited colleges, which are more, that's layman's terms for more prestigious school. It's accreditation that you get, that you're more prestigious academic school. The only two schools that have that currently are Iowa State and KU, which is why, in my mind, I feel like those are really the only two realistic options in the Big Ten. You're right, it makes more sense than to go into the Pac-12 for K-State. I agree 100%. And it'd be better. You'd make more money there. But it's hard for me to see it unless somehow K-State and KU are a package deal to go to the Big Ten, which I don't know. I suppose that could happen. But it just doesn't... To me, that just doesn't seem like a realistic option for K-State. I feel like the Pac-12 is at least somewhat realistic, because the Pac-12 could say, hey, you know, we could, you know, at least get the central time zone. So instead of having USC kick off at, you know, 9 p.m. Central time, we could get them at a 2:30 slot, you know, a prime time slot, because we're playing the team in the central time zone. You know, that's something that could be appealing to them. The potential of, honestly, that's really the biggest thing. You get your prime time, you can get your schools in more prime time slots, and you don't have as much leverage as the Big Ten right now, because you're kind of lagging behind a little bit. So they need to make a move more than the Big Ten needs to make a move, which is why I feel like that's more realistic for K-State. The Big Ten would obviously be fantastic. I'm just not sure if they will bring in a school that's not an AAC accredited college. We shall see what they do. Like I said, the one way I can see that happening is maybe if K-State and KU are packaged together. But you know what, Eddie? If K-State ends up in the Pac-12, welcome to my life, okay? Welcome to... I have to wake up and watch 11 a.m. kickoffs at 9 a.m., okay? So if I need to watch kickoffs at 9 a.m., Eddie, you can watch a 9 p.m. kickoff. For one, every now and again. Also, even the playing field, okay?
Okay. I can definitely get down with that. I can definitely get down with that. Yeah, especially with those teams out there. We're already playing a Pac-12 team to start off the year here in another month or so with Stanford
and
at a neutral step.
Be waking up at 9 a.m. to watch that puppy.
Yep, there you go. Yep, exactly. Yeah, so it'll be interesting, that's for sure. But this news ain't going to stop from here. We will definitely keep our eyes up on this. This is going to be, this is going to be a while, folks. So definitely there's that as well. Hopefully next weekend we will begin finally getting into defense with the defensive line and linebackers. I know we kind of gave it a sneak peek at the end of last episode of the podcast, but obviously with the Texas-Oklahoma news, we had to give our thoughts to our listeners here tonight on the podcast.
It's what everyone's thinking about, right, Andy? I mean, it's the truth. It's on everybody's mind, and to be 100% honest, there's a lot of scared K-State fans right now. So
you know,
it's top of mind right now, and it deserves the coverage. Hey, just a big plug out there too. Fitz is making everything with GoPowerCat.com free right now. I think that he said the exact way that Tim Fitzgerald put it was. Let me pull it up here, Eddie, too, just to...
It's free? It's free right now? It's free?
But, yeah, he said, head on over to GoPowerCat. As we continue our coverage, Big 12 realignment, we're also recording another podcast. We're keeping the majority of our coverage free because it's important to the K-State family with everything that's going on right now. But please consider subscribing. So, consider subscribing, but he knows it's a big deal, so this stuff's free to you. Like I said, this is what's on people's minds right now. You know, this is what's on people's minds. People are scared. And to be 100% honest, it's what's on the K-State administration's mind as well. So whatever happens is going to have a major effect on Kansas State one way or the other. And let's just cross our fingers and hope it's a decent one and K-State's not left out of the dust.
Yeah, that is for sure. That is for sure. So, yeah, I need to go do that. I know I listen to I'm a good... big fan of their podcast, what Fitz is doing over there. So I've been listening for a couple of years now. So definitely need to hop on that deal while it's on it as well. So I'm definitely going to have to do that here probably tomorrow. I'm going to set a reminder here before I go to bed and do that as well. So between the Pearl Project podcast, the Gold Power Cat, obviously with Fitz and the gang, and then John Kurtz with it, what they're doing here in Manhattan as well. John Kurtz is doing big stuff here as well, so definitely a shameless plug, but hey, it's a good shameless plug. Go, please, if you're K-State, big fan, and worried about where K-State's next destination is going to be, definitely stay in tune for the next however many months is going to go on. It's going to be a while, like I said, it's going to be a while, so strap up, buckle up, folks. It's going to be something. That is for sure between John Kurtz, Fitz, and us as well. So definitely, and also the Bosco Boys. I know they did a podcast earlier. Somebody went off on that podcast.
Yes.
I need to listen to that. I need to listen to that. So
that is a good PSA, Eddie, to remind everyone that don't believe there's so much crap going on Twitter right now. People trying to act like they have the inside scoops. The Bosco Boys pretty much had a guy on and mocked him for saying that the Pac-12 was close to reaching a deal to bring over all the Big 12 schools except Texas Tech and KU, which is the
That's not true.
It doesn't make any sense. So, and then the Bosco Boys are like, "You're full of crap," and they ended up having him on their podcast. And he defended. He defended. He tried to defend, you know, his point, and you know, but yeah, just be cautious of what you are seeing online on social media. As everyone tries to act like they have the scoop, just. Do a double take. Just do a double take on everything you see, and also just if it seems like it's too good to be true or a little too realistic, it probably isn't true.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's a That's, I heard that saying before, but that's with this whole trading deadline right now with Major League Baseball right now. And
same thing.
With the up and down Braves right now. I don't know what they're going to do. There's been a lot of, you know, sellers, buyers, 10 pence in the day. Win, loss. But yeah, same thing with the trading deadline right now. Don't believe, if it has a blue check mark on a name, believe it. If not, yeah. So there's been a lot of that going on. The trading deadline ends on Friday at midnight. So yeah, so same thing with the K-State, with the K-State stuff. Yeah, if it doesn't have a blue check mark on it, yeah, you don't want to believe it. So yeah, don't do it.
People are going to try to up their clicks, up their listens, up their views with the conference realignment, because that's what everyone's talking about right now. So yeah, they're going to try to take advantage of it. It's the same advice, Eddie, that I give to people at work, because I work in PR. I work in media relations and public relations, and I write our like content for our work too. And advice I always write on our content at the Research Center is, if you don't know, like if you receive an email, and you don't know who that email is from, ignore it. Go back directly back to the source and verify the validity of the message to avoid a phishing email. So, like, an identity theft, you get like a phishing email that can, you know, be a phishing attack. I always tell people, go back directly back to the source. It's the same thing here, Eddie. If you see something, don't just believe it. Go directly back to the source. Just go check it out. Just go verify that it's real. You know, don't just run with it. Don't just believe it off the bat. You know, just do your homework. Just do your little homework, and you'll be good.
Yep. Do your homework, folks. K-State Nation, do your homework. Man, this has been a great episode tonight on the podcast, folks. And I mentioned the whole ask question on the Pro Project podcast. Listener questions. We'll be promoting that some more coming up. Obviously, thanks to Paul for his question tonight to kick things off with that. So, very good episode tonight on the podcast. And hopefully, we will talk about defense at some point next week on the show. It's getting down to crunch down, folks. When we come back for the weekly next edition of the podcast, weekly edition, it's going to be a month out before Stanford. So,
thank goodness, Eddie.
Yeah, thank goodness it is right. With that, Eddie Greer, Alex Dane, the Purple Project Podcast, another episode is in the books. Woo, great episode tonight. Alex, any last words before we head on off?
The last word for me is, everyone just relax, okay, just breathe. I know it's frustrating. We all want answers. The answers aren't going to come overnight. They just aren't, so just breathe, just relax, when information is available, people will get it to you. We will get it to you. In the meantime, enjoy the football season, because I have a feeling this is going to linger into the football season because it's only a month away. So, just enjoy the season. And yes, we will still be talking about it, because this is going to probably be the honest topic for the rest of the year. But still, don't let it affect your football season. Enjoy football season. This is why we're part of sports. We're sports fans because we enjoy the on-the-field product. So you know what? Enjoy it. Enjoy that Stanford game. Enjoy the game. And you know what? Let's beat OU 3 years in a row. Let's go down to Austin. Let's beat Texas the day after Thanksgiving and give them a horns down. Get our penalty. Get our penalty, which would be well worth it. And send them home with a loss. That stuff will all happen in due time. It's definitely worth following. I glued to my phone following it, but I know for me, I'm not going to let it affect my enjoyment of this football season.
Nah.
Because that is my unplugged from all the worries of life, of being able to watch K-State, the Royals, the Blazers, that is where I get to unplug and be in my happy place. And no one is taking my happy place away, Eddie. No money, no ESPN, no OU, no Texas, no one. So just enjoy it. And whatever happens, happens. We can't control it. So, enjoy the season, and then we'll keep getting the loop on what's going on.
That is correct. That's correct. With that, that's a wrap for another edition of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition. That's a good note in on it. Alex and Eddie Greer here in Manhattan. Alex out there in Sydney, California. Alex will do this again next week. Stay tuned, K-State Nation. Go Cats!
Purple Project Podcast. Get it wherever podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.